Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Preaching the Gospel Radio Network, and this is your host, Jonathan Exum. I'm your speaker this evening. In this lesson, we will learn what the Bible says about baptism. Now, the word baptism, or the Greek word baptizo, means to dip, plunge, cover, or immerse. The New Testament uses this original Greek word, baptizo, 115 times. In the Old Testament, however, does not use the New Testament form, which is to immerse, at any time. So why be baptized? About as many reasons as there are faith. And what I mean by that is in Ephesians 4, there is one faith. Let's look at that text just one moment. Ephesians 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One faith. There's one reason why you should be baptized. We'll get to that later on in this lesson. The Baptists say it's not essential to salvation, but is essential to obedience. The Jehovah's Witness says, must be baptized to show dedication. It is expected of Christians. Kind of a contradicting statement in its own. Methodist says, baptism, a sign to mark the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. But what does the Bible really say about baptism? Overall, baptism is a command, commission. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9, starting with verse 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. And in the King James verse says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And this great commission that Jesus issued in verse 19, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But Jesus sends his apostles out to baptize. And this is not just for his apostles, it's commended for us today. Let's look at what happened to Cornelius in Acts 10, verse 48. Acts 10, verse 48 says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then they asked him to stay a few days. If baptism is not necessary, as what the Baptist says, then why does Cornelius? Start up with verse 44. I want to read this passage out to you so that you understand. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. Now, we know that now in this day and time, the Holy Spirit doesn't fall on anybody. This is back in the miraculous age. In 45, it says, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out onto the Gentiles also. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Peter is preaching Cornelius' household throughout this whole discussion. If you start with verse 34 and go to the end of the chapter, you'll understand it more. Actually, starting with verse 24 and going to the end of the chapter, you'll understand it more fully. But Peter's preaching to Cornelius, and he says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Now, that's teaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit per se, as the miraculous part, like going out and healing the blind man or things of that nature. But why would Peter say in verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord? If baptism was not necessary, why would the apostle Peter say, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord? Now, this isn't the only time I want to look at this particular scenario. We look at who should be baptized. Well, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, it says, talk first, teach all nations. You have to teach them be baptized. Why would we baptize somebody who has no idea what they're being baptized for? That's like saying, for instance, and I've heard this from Bill Ward. He's a preacher and he's a good friend of mine. He had one Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. I can't remember which one he said. But he said that he had a man respond to the invitation, but he was drunk. Now, if you baptize a drunk man, whenever he comes sober, he won't remember a thing, and he won't know why or how something happened. Baptizing a drunk person, they don't know what they're doing. I mean, you can't teach. I mean, it's a simple statement. You can't teach what you don't know, and you can't do what you don't know, and you can't be baptized for something you don't know what you're being baptized for or why we're being baptized. It's a teach. The taught person is what they're baptized. Teaching, we have to teach people. We teach people what God's will reveals to us, to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, repent of our sins, confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then be baptized, which is so much of an issue. It's probably the most, a lot of the world, but it's so clear in the Bible. I'm going to quote Robbie Ebersol. The Bible is a blood book. Every page is filled with blood dripping out of it. Because you cannot connect with the blood of Jesus without baptism. Robbie Ebersol, who's currently doing a gospel meeting over in Moultrie, and if you can attend that, if you're near the area, I would encourage you to go. Brother Robbie is a great gospel preacher. And Mark 16:16 says, "He who believes and is baptized." You have to believe. You have to believe. In other words, why would you be baptized for something you don't believe? It's to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Believe that He came on the earth to die for our sins. He died and He was buried and was resurrected 3 days later. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not will be condemned. Penitent persons. It means repentant persons. Now I want to look at Acts chapter 2. "For let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now what shall Peter answer? This is how a lot of people say it. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and say some prayer and you'll be saved." No, is that what the text says? That's not what the text says. It said to them, "Repent and say the sinner's prayer and you shall be saved." That's not what Peter says. Peter said to them, "Repent and touch the TV screen and you shall be saved," or touch the radio, or touch some object, or do some sort of dance. That is not what Scripture teaches. That's not what this text says. Verse 38 says, "And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin." That is, Peter, when those men were cut to the heart, they were willing to repent. They realized, we killed him. We crucified the Son of God. We crucified God in the flesh. His name, Emmanuel, means God with us. They realized we crucified him. And he was who he said he was. They were cut to the heart and asked Peter, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Here we have crucified the Lord. And we realize our mistake, what shall we do? Peter says, "And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or for the forgiveness of sin." Without baptism, there is no forgiveness. Let me say that again. Without baptism, there is no forgiveness. With no tires, there is no truck. You can't go anywhere, and therefore, you don't have the truck. I mean, you have the truck, but you don't have the tires to go back and forth with. You can't go anywhere, so you don't really have the truck. Baptism is so necessary. It's just like bread and water. It's as necessary as bread and water and food and our daily necessity. It's just as a matter of fact, it is more important than those because through baptism is it through baptism. Through obeying the gospel, the way of salvation. And through no other way can you get to heaven but by God's plan of salvation that he has brought forth through his word. You won't get to heaven but saying the sinner's prayer. Besides, the sinner's prayer is not in Scripture. You could search it up on Google. You could search it up on Yahoo Answers or whatever. It is not. You can search not Google. You can search it up on if you go to a Bible app or a Bible. If you go to BibleGateway.org or .com. I can't remember which one it is. Bible Gateway, and it has a search engine. You type in "sinner's prayer." It will say none found, or there is no result for this search. You will not find the sinner's prayer in Scripture whatsoever. Who should be baptized? Persons who have confessed Christ. Look at Acts chapter 8. Opens his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Why did Philip need to preach Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch? So he would know what to do, and know who Jesus was, and ultimately know why he would need to be baptized. Now as they went down the road and came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The eunuch confessed Christ. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And he baptized. Why? For the forgiveness or the remission of sin. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord talked Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went away on his way continuing in sin. Nope, that's not what the text says. Went on his way rejoicing, living the Christian life. But Philip, anyway, and I want to go through this, and I know I'm running out of time. I'm kind of going to hit this fast, but in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, actually verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, which means he had to know the Old Testament. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God be with you. Or is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now, what kind of question? I was the way Nicodemus asked this question, "Can he enter a second time and be born?" This is not, he misunderstood what Jesus was talking about. So Jesus answered again, and he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sounds of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, baptism, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." It's for the remission of sins, as we looked at Acts 2, verse 38. It's for the washing away of sins, Acts 22:16. Let's look at Acts 22:16. Plus, it's part of the conversion. 2 and verse 16. And this is the version of Paul. Now in verse 16 it says, "Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Washing away sin. The only thing that washes away sin is the blood of Jesus. And the only way to contact the blood of Jesus is through baptism. And I don't care what denominational preacher, what person in the world, or what person, a family or friend or neighbor or whoever, tells you, the Bible says God has written in His inspired word that was written by writers that was inspired of God, that the only way to get to the kingdom of heaven, to contact the blood of Jesus, is through baptism, point and conclusion. Case point match, as some would say. It is to imitate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 6. Letter the Apostle Paul had wrote church at Rome. What shall we say then? Actually, skip down to verse 3. For do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Look at verse 6. I'm going to go into verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that's through baptism, that the body of sin might be done away with, were also rendered inoperative, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Verse 7 says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Does that mean that man doesn't sin after baptism? Man sins. Man sins. But there is forgiveness in Christ. And in Christ alone, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my all. It enables one to put on Christ. It enables one to be saved. If baptism is not necessary for salvation, Mr. Baptist, answer me this question. Why in 1 Peter does Peter write this? I don't read that. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. I start with verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine law of suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. Now, let's go back to Noah for a second. Go back to Noah. I know I only have 10 or so minutes. But go back to Noah and the flood in Genesis chapter 6, or chapter 8, one of the chapters, the flood. How many ways were Noah and his family saved? Through the ark. God said to make an ark of gopher wood. And 8 people went to that ark, and how many were saved? Only 8 came out. So the question that is, is there any way we can go to heaven without baptism? The answer to that is no. No. No way, no how. Now, look at verse 21. Why, back to the question, if Mr. Baptist, or anyone who says that baptism is not necessary for salvation, why does Peter say in verse 21, there is also an antitype which now saves us? Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If baptism was not necessary for salvation, then why does Peter write this verse? Why did he write it? Because baptism is necessary for salvation. What happens when we're baptized? We are washed of sin. In Acts 2, verse 47, we are added to the church by the Lord, and the Lord added to the church daily those such as being such as were being saved. Acts 2, verse 47. The only way to get to heaven, my friends, is by obeying the gospel plan of salvation. This concludes my lesson, but I want to point out another thing that I have thought about. If you read all the conversion accounts of Cornelius, Paul, all the conversions, as you see in the book of Acts, every single conversion involves baptism. But there is more than just baptism. It's a plan of salvation. You have to hear the gospel, which was just preached to you. It's to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that He is the Son of God, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and then remain faithful unto this. Friends, you are not a Christian, a born again Christian, a member of the church. You're not a member of the church. If you are thinking, contemplating this as to say, I don't think that I should be baptized, but I think I should wait a couple of days. Then what? Why tarriest thou? And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Now is the time, my friends. Why do you wait? Why do you tarry so long? Jesus wants to see you saved. And the only way to get salvation is the precious blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want to end with a prayer, and then after this prayer, the lesson is yours. And if you are a Christian and you've listened to this lesson and you questioned your baptism, why tarriest thou as well? If you're unsure about your baptism, why not make it certain? Peter said, I believe it was 2 Peter, make your calling and election sure. Let's end. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for many more of the blessings you have bestowed upon us. We know that you are God and you are Father. Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer at this moment. Father, we pray that you would be with those who have heard this lesson, and that they would open their hearts to what has been said, and they would fight for their life. Father, I ask that those that are listening that are not Christians, that they would become Christians by obeying your gospel, by hearing your gospel, believing that you came on this earth to die on the cross, and repent of their sins, and confess you as the Son of God and Lord, and as Lord and Savior, and be immersed in water. Father, I ask that you please be with those who are Christians who have struggled with or have rethought about their baptism. I ask that they would make their calling and election sure. Making that decision. Father, if there's anything, Father, we know we often fall short. We ask that you forgive us of our sins. As we go throughout our daily life, that we would always do things that are acceptable in your sight. We ask this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I hope everyone has a fantastic day. Time, God is good. And know that Jesus, God, Father, loves you.